Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And if you'd like to know more about this ministry, just Google Good News Christian Ministries and you can look at our webpage. My name is George St. Clair. I'm the pastor of Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. And we're going to begin our show today by listening to a group from Ireland called the Rend Collective, and they're singing Come On. Hello again. You're listening to CFRA Radio. The show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And if you want to know more, just Google Good News Christian Ministries. Listen, just so you know, this show is completely and utterly supported by you, our listeners. And we need your prayer support and we need your financial support. So if you can help out in any way, please, please consider doing that. My name is George St. Clair. I'm the pastor of Church of the Messiah, and it's my privilege today to open the Bible and talk to you about Jesus. And listen, I'm not unacquainted with controversy. My sermon today, or my talk today, and next week will be a little bit controversial. And it's a little bit controversial because it's very common in our culture to say that prayer is neutral. It's sort of common to all people. And so can't we use sort of any words that we want in prayer? Can't we choose our own name for God? Can't we call God Mother as well as Father? Or can't we just use our own names for God? And we're going to talk about that a little bit this week and a little bit next week in different ways. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the only place in the Gospels where somebody asked Jesus to teach them to pray. All four of the Gospels, there's only one place in the Gospels where somebody says to Jesus, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? So if you have your Bibles, get Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. We're going to look at these texts, both this Sunday and next. Luke 11, 1 to 4, and here's what it says. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We're going to, before we sort of think about these words a little bit more, we're going to listen to some more music, and we're going to listen to Stuart Townend sing, You Are the Word of God the Father. Welcome back. We've sort of asked the question, isn't prayer neutral or common to all people? And can't we use any words that we want in prayer? Can we call God anything that we want? And we're looking at Luke 11, 1 to 4, in particular, verse 2. And it's the only place in the Gospels where somebody says to Jesus, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And in verse 2, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. That's how it begins. And we're really going to look this morning at those five words in English. When you pray, say, Father. And here's the first big takeaway for us. that Jesus says that when I speak to God, I should call him Dad. Jesus says that when I speak to God, I should call him Dad. Now, I know a lot of people instantly, there's going to be a little bit of discomfort with this. Probably not in, you know, people who go to churches all the time. But for many, many people, there's a certain degree of discomfort with this because we have very, very complicated relationships with our human dads. Not everybody. Some people have great relationships with great dads. But there are many people probably listening in this morning who have maybe their dads have abused them. Their dads have abandoned them. I remember sitting in a coffee shop and listening to a young woman talk to a young man, and in the course of the conversation, she listed not only the several stepdad and the several stepdads that she'd had, but the several live-in boyfriends that her mom had had. And so people can have very, very complicated relationships with their dads. In fact, I myself have a very, very complicated relationship with my dad, which I'm not going to go into right now. But I can assure you, my dad's done time in jail. I have a complicated relationship with my dad. But here's the thing. You know, this is something which has always been the case. It's not just that all of a sudden in 2013 in Ottawa that people were having complicated relationships with their dads. This is an historic thing. People have always had, some people have always had complicated relationships with their dad. And God knew that. God, who is wise, Jesus, who is wise, knows this. And yet still he says that when I speak to God, I should call God Dad. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but first I just want you to get around something that you might have heard. The word in Greek, the original language that Luke was written in, is the word that a child uses for their father. And I, for many years, was told that therefore we should really, more literally, translate this as daddy. And I have to confess, I've always found that a bit of a barrier to pray. It feels very funny for me to say daddy in heaven and refer to God as daddy. And it's just really been recently that I realized that although well-meaning, in fact, this is not correct. The prayer is not telling me to call God daddy. See, I don't call my own dad daddy. I called him daddy probably when I was a child, but at some point in time, I don't know when it was, I don't know if it was in my teenage years, I can't remember, but at some point in time, I switched from calling my father daddy to dad. I have 9 kids, and I can tell you that all of my kids, when they were young, they called me daddy. None of my kids, my youngest is 14, none of my kids call me daddy anymore. You know, with one exception, I have one daughter who might call me daddy sometimes, and I know she's trying to either be affectionate or she's wanting to ask me some question to get something. I have another child who sometimes calls me father, and I know that there's a particular type of question or conversation that we're going to have when that happens, but generally they call me dad. And here's the thing. What it is this is in fact the word that a child, when Jesus says that when I speak to God, I should call him dad, this is in fact the word that a child would use of his or her own father. But it should be, it's the word appropriate to your age. And so, you know, the prayer isn't telling me to call God, to speak to God and call him daddy. It's whatever, in effect, would be comfortable for me at my age and in my culture that I would refer to my human father. That's the word that Jesus would have us use for our heavenly father. So if you're maybe from an Irish background, the word would be pa. If you're Polish background. Sometimes I don't pronounce this right. It would be tata. You know, it might be dad. It might be daddy. It might be father. But it is, in fact, Jesus is asking us to use a word that is the word that we would usually use of our human father. And I have to confess that, you know, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago now, when I started, it really struck me as I was preparing this talk in a different context, it really struck me that this is what Jesus is telling me to do. Like, people ask him how to pray, and he begins by saying, this is how I should refer to God. And so I, in my personal prayers, started to make a switch that I now, in my personal prayers, say to my Heavenly Father, I no longer call him Father, I call him Dad. And I have to confess, it was actually very, very hard for me at first, because to speak to God as dad became it's a far more intimate and close and personal word. And I realized that in a sense, by my this may be not you at all, but for me, in some ways, calling God and speaking to God as Father was a way to keep God more abstract and more distant from me. And so in a sense, a very, very real sense, listening to Jesus here, Jesus is challenging our unconscious and dysfunction, the dysfunction that we have with God that we are unaware of. And by referring to God, speaking to God, as calling him as dad, it's inviting us into a closer, personal, more intimate relationship with God, the living God. And that's what Jesus is saying. And now some of you might push back and say, okay, George, are you going to start in your church if I go to visit you in church? Like, if at the end of this broadcast when you pray, are you going to say to Daddy in heaven, George, if you start praying in church to my Daddy in heaven, it sounds like you're talking about your father who's dead and now he's in heaven. And it sounds like you're talking to a human person, not to God. Like, are you going to really do that? Well, no, I'm not going to start referring to God as Daddy or even Dad in my public prayers. And in fact, I think it's a mistake to do that. But it's a spectacular question. It's a spectacular question. Just once again, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Now, just for all you grammar geeks out here, there's a grammar geek moment, and the word when is a subjunctive imperative, and so it's actually a command. It's not Jesus saying, when you get around to it, on those occasions when you decide that you're going to pray, you should say this. No, it's actually a way of saying an imperative. You are to pray. And the other thing is that the word you is actually a plural. So if you were Irish or you were from the Upper Ottawa Valley, you'd say yous. the Irish or the Upper Ottawa Valley people, the more rural people, they have a better range of words. And so it more literally, if you're up the valley, you'd say, when yous pray, say, Father. And it's a plural. And the question is asking about common prayer. Okay, this is a question about common prayer. So here's another big takeaway, that Jesus tells me to pray privately and to pray in common with other disciples. Jesus is telling me here to pray privately and to pray in common with other disciples. You have to remember that we enter the Jesus way one by one, but we walk the Jesus way with Jesus and others. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's giving us a common prayer in the sense that it's a common pattern, a common language about God, in terms of then hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. I'm going to talk about that next week. And then, give us, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive anyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not in temptation. This is, in a sense, a common structure for prayer, a common pattern for prayer, whether it's private or corporate. It's, in a sense, opening the door to a liturgical prayer, for having a sense that there's a well-thought-through structure to prayer. And it's also common prayer, in that Jesus is inviting us not only to have a sort of a pattern and a flow and a language for prayer, but he's letting us know that there are going to be times that we pray together in common, whether that's in a small, maybe it's just two people or a small group, or maybe it's a church, maybe it's a smaller church like mine, or maybe it's a very big church like the Metropolitan Bible Church or Woodvale Pentecostal, that Jesus is in telling us that there's ways to come to God, which we are to come to God in common. And you see, it's for that sense that if in a church service, and probably even in a small group, if you're praying together, to use a private, individual, idiosyncratic language for God, then it's not common prayer. Like, if in your congregation, if you ask people, and you might have people from Asian backgrounds and African backgrounds and different European languages other than English, and if you ask them, what do you actually call your father, you'll get a wide range of words. So In English, the most common word to use that sort of unites and helps people of different languages and different families to gather together in common, as you gather in common on a Sunday morning or some other time to worship, the common word is Father. And that is why the word Father is best. And by the way, as an aside, one of the things that you can pray for your church and pray for my church is that the Holy Spirit will move powerfully in our churches, that we have a drive to connect as a congregation, to come together as a congregation and connect with each other in the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit as we worship our Father in heaven. Now, some of you might say, okay, one moment, George. Isn't prayer neutral? You know, you began by saying that prayer is, you know, raising the question as to whether prayer is neutral or common and to all faiths and all people, and can't any words work, or can't we choose our own name for God? And you know, here's the thing. You know, on one level, God's a very, very big God. He can figure out who you're talking to, whether you're really wanting to talk to him and you don't know the right language or anything like that. But Jesus, he knew of the existence of other faiths. I mean, he grew up in a part of what we would now call the Middle East, where there were non-Jews there. He was familiar with the fact that there were Roman soldiers, and that those Roman soldiers came from many, many different countries and nations. And he probably spoke several languages, including Greek. There's good reason to think he maybe even spoke Latin. And so Jesus was very familiar with the fact that there's very, very many different languages for God. And Jesus as well isn't afraid to offend. I mean, he died. He stood his ground, and the religious and political and educational and legal and cultural elite, he stood his ground. He wasn't afraid to offend. And yet Jesus tells us to call God Dad. I mean, I'm just being very, very simple here about that. It's important just to sort of remember his background. From the Christian worldview, on one level, prayer is natural because there is a creator who has created all things. And because there really is a creator who has created all things, and human beings are his creatures, we are his creations, on one hand, we have a natural desire to pray. That's why in many Buddhist and Hindu countries, while on one level, at a philosophical level, it makes no sense for there to be prayer in those religions, at the lived level of Hindu and Buddhist nations, there's in fact prayer that goes on all the time, even though it in a sense is inconsistent with the philosophy of the religion. And that's because prayer is something natural. Yet at the same time, prayer is difficult and confused. And that's because we Christians understand that while there is a God who does exist, who created all things and created it good and perfect, that the human race has fallen, that the human race is bent. And as a result, even in Christians, even those who have given their lives to Jesus and trusted him as their Savior and desire to follow him as Lord, prayer is both natural but difficult and confused. And so, you know, really for us as followers of Jesus, well, in fact, it really comes out far more closely in this very next point, that in all this other conversation about the name for God, we miss the far greater riddle. There's a profound riddle in this. To think about it for a second, imagine that there's, if you came to my church and there was this little girl that you see, or a little boy, and no relationship to me whatsoever. How could that little boy or that little girl ever come to call me Dad? You think about it for a second. How could they call me Dad? How could I call God Dad? Well, the only way that that child could ever call me Dad is if something tragic happens, that their parents die and they become an orphan, and then if I adopt that little boy or that little girl. I mean, this is momentous in this prayer. Jesus is posing a riddle. Jesus wants me to have a new identity and a new destiny. I am God's child by adoption. I am God's child by adoption. Jesus is on the way to the cross when this text is being taken place. He's going to the cross to die and to rise again. And Jesus is pointing to the fact that on the cross, when he dies on the cross and in his resurrection, that God is providing the means by which I can become and you can become God's child by adoption and grace. I don't adopt God. I can never adopt God. A little girl or a little boy can never adopt me or force me to make me their dad. I have to adopt, and in this particular case, I can't have God adopt me. God needs to choose to adopt me. I mean, that's astounding. Jesus is on his way to the cross to die. He's pointing about this to this in this prayer. He's telling his disciples that it's possible for us to have ordinary people like you and me, broken people, successful people like you and me, to have a new identity and a new destiny, that God is going to do something in Jesus by which, if I come to Jesus in by faith and with repentance, that I can become God's child by adoption and grace. And that becomes my identity, and that forms my destiny. And I can have a confidence that I will go through life as God's child by adoption and grace, and that I will die as God's child by adoption and grace, because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on God adopting me and God doing the means necessary by which I can become his adopted child. That's absolutely spectacular. I mean, the question for you is, have you come to Jesus? Have you trusted him as Savior? Have you trusted him to be the means by which God can adopt you into his family so that you can become his child by adoption and grace? And if it's Jesus who is the one who is the means by which we can be adopted as God's child and have a new identity and a new destiny, then we need to listen to his wise words when he says, when you pray, say, Father. See, here's the final takeaway as we just sort of wrap up. Jesus is saying, as I get to pray, I get to talk to God, the living God, and call him Dad. That's spectacular. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death upon the cross and his mighty resurrection. We thank you, Father, that by his death upon the cross on my behalf and on each person's behalf, he has provided the means by which you can adopt us by grace. And so, Father, we ask that you grow in us a humble, trusting knowledge of the greatness of Jesus to be the means by which we can become your child by adoption and grace, that you help us to turn to him in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, let's listen to George Beverly Shea sing In the Garden.
To the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.